basically, Mr. Softy has been running New York for the longest, and a more, shall we say, rugged operation showed up and started breaking ice cream trucks for their corners.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Lebatard. That's Bomani Jones and Izzy Gutierrez. You will only get your ice cream information here. Let's go.
Yo, it's gangsta out there for the ice cream, man.
Should the T-Wolves feel better about drafting LaMelo Ball and LeVar or Anthony Edwards, who says he still isn't into basketball?
Okay, one of the things about basketball I believe that the general customer still somehow misses is that that ballet in the sky is not a holy man reaching into a crib and giving the genetics to a young person so that they can grow up and be tall and be great at basketball. In order to be great at that sport, you absolutely have to care about it because the other people around you who are fighting for dollars in a hugely competitive ecosystem, they tend to care about it. And Edwards saying to ESPN that he doesn't really love basketball all that much. To me, I'd actually put that above character and all that stuff that scouting people do to undermine these guys. Caring about your sport is something they accused Josh Rosen of, and Josh Rosen was somebody who ended up being not as good as any of us thought he was going to be, and I would worry about how much someone cares about basketball and talks about football as their first love.
Yeah, but Josh Rosen's problem isn't that he doesn't care enough. His problem is he just isn't good enough, right? Like, I haven't heard anybody say that the reason Josh Rosen came up short is because they didn't feel like he was putting in the time. He just didn't have the game. Now, the thing to me about basketball is, you get guys who play and don't love it. They're normally like 6'10 or 6'11, though, because normally if you are under 6'5, like 6'5 in that range, you have to love it because you have to put in so much work in order to be able to do it. Anthony Edwards is so damn talented that he's gotten this far being in a place where he could say that he does not love basketball that much, right? What does he love, though? Because if you find something that does matter to him that overlaps with being really good at basketball, then you'll be fine. He's, what, 19 years old. This was a pretty immature thing to say in public, so I'm not going to, like, leave him straddled with it. However, Minnesota took Andrew Wiggins, and there was one of the complaints that some people had about him is they weren't sure that he really cared that much about doing this. I don't know which way to go on that. I just know this. Say what you want about LaMelo Ball. That dude's been kicking it like a grown man in basketball for a while now. He's not going to have to get up to the learning curve of maturity. But the Timberwolves have time for Anthony Edwards to come up on the curve if they want him to. So I wouldn't be so worried about what he said in that interview. The question with him is going to be, does he shoot well enough and consistently enough for you to put a number one pick on a scorer? He's the type of player that we really don't tend to invest in like that anymore.
Yeah, see, it's interesting to look at and sort of compare the criticisms of the two top guys, LaMelo Ball and Edwards there. With LaMelo, a lot of the criticism is he doesn't care about defense. He wants to be a showman. Look, if I'm this talented, and as Dan said before, to get this talented, he has to work his tail off. You don't just get gifted the number one pick ability. So you know that he could probably want to put on a show. You can teach him how to reel that in. You can teach him to play defense. With Anthony Edwards, it makes you wonder, can he put in the effort? Does he really want to? Those things aren't new. Those are things that scouts were saying about him while he was playing. He seems to drift at all times, not even necessarily just on defense. He'll randomly drift during games, and that makes you wonder. The other side of it is, if he got this far, basically saying, this is my second favorite sport, and I don't really love it yet, what will happen if he gets in the right culture? If somebody does make him love it, if somebody makes him realize the potential that he has, and when you talk about potential, he himself compares himself to Dwayne Wade. If you're that type of player, you are number one caliber type of draft pick, but you have to show the effort there. And I think there's going to be a team obviously willing to take on that chance.
Well, Izzy, let me ask you a question when you mentioned that thing about drifting. If I had an incredibly talented student in a classroom and that kid was drifting all the time, what would we say? Probably needs a little bit more of a challenge. Like, sure. It is entirely possible that one of the problems that Edwards has is this has all been way too easy for him. This all, by the way, is why the draft is such a crapshoot. Not just because you're trying to project in terms of somebody's talents, but you're trying to project in terms of how they're going to approach this. And if you can do that with a 19-year-old with some confidence, whoo, baby, you smarter than me.
Yeah, absolutely. And if he was just better than that, if Tom Crean wasn't really challenging him enough and that's where his mind was, I can see an NBA franchise changing that mentality for him. Here's where I'm afraid of LaMelo Ball. LaMelo didn't just play in one or two high schools. He played in multiple countries before he got to the NBA, right? And if you think that if he's chosen number one, he's probably going to stay in Minnesota for the life of his career, I seriously doubt it. That would definitely worry me with Minnesota. If I'm drafting LaMelo Ball, I'm probably only drafting him for 4 to 7 years.
Are we already numb to the idea that somehow the gas bag, obnoxious and fun for our entertainment purposes, LaVar has created a situation as a father that you don't see a whole lot of, where he has actually manufactured the two incredibly valuable basketball pieces?
Yeah, he pulled that off. But after he got his pockets run, I feel like we ain't even got to worry about him too much. Have we really seen much of LaVar since we found out that he got? He got a little bashful after that.
The Rockets said they're willing to get uncomfortable. Do you buy that they might not actually trade James Harden and Russell Westbrook?
All right, well, what are they going to say? They're not going to telegraph to everyone, hey, these guys need to get out of here. We'll take whatever it is you're offering. I would worry if I'm the Bobcats or the Knicks, and I see the Bobcats and the Knicks, that you're the only two teams that are really interested in Russell Westbrook. You're not going to like your allies a whole lot there in terms of player selection. As it regards James Harden, though, in terms of making it uncomfortable for him, the reason the player is so empowered in this sport is you got to worry about the other thing. You don't have to worry about whether the Rockets are going to make it uncomfortable for James Harden. You've got to worry about whether James Harden is going to take that discomfort and say, well, I'm going to get a pot belly. I'm going to go to strip clubs back when the pandemic makes things normal again, and I'll just dribble the ball and run around out there until you trade me to a team that matters. I think that James Harden is in a position of leverage here as much as you can be with the idea that you've got years left on your contract.
Well, if I'm Russell Westbrook, unless, like you mentioned, Dan, the Hornets and Knicks just offer something off the charts for him, I would settle in, because you're not going to sell Westbrook now. If you would have tried to trade him before the bubble, when he was averaging, you know, 30 plus, 7 and 7 or something like that, then he would have had high value. And I think if you're Houston, if you just put him out on the floor, he's going to put up big numbers and he's going to have value at some point during the season. Maybe then you can move them. When it comes to James Harden and what's going to be uncomfortable for either of those guys, look, I can understand if, you know, like you said, Dan, James does any of those things. What can make it really uncomfortable if the two of them start talking about the owner's political beliefs and how they don't align with them, and maybe that's why they want to leave the franchise. That would make everybody uncomfortable, including those reading and listening to the quotes. So I wonder if they both have some ammunition in their back pocket. I think in the end of the day, they're not going to get traded this offseason, but I do think that they're carving their way out of Houston, Russell first after he builds up some more value, and then James Harden probably next season.
James Harden showed up to the bubble with that mask with the 5-0 flag on it, which is to say, I don't think he gives that much a damn about politics, right? I don't know. He might have had some grand awakening after he got there, but I'm not inclined to believe that that's part of this. Here's my question for James Harden. Are you willing to set your reputation on fire in order to get traded? Because if you're willing to set your reputation on fire, go ahead, show up, act a fool while you're still on that team, and then maybe they'll be in a position where they feel forced to move you. But what's going to do you in on that plan is, if the Rockets look around and see the haul that teams have managed to pull off for lesser players than James Harden, then they just cannot give him away. That's not going to be an option. So when the Rockets say, we're down for this to be uncomfortable, they're like, cool, come on in here and act a fool if you want to. Think about this. The smartest thing in the Rich Paul play with Anthony Davis was Rich Paul took all the bullets. Anthony Davis showed up and did whatever it was that they asked him to do. If Harden had shown up and I think quietly tried to get his way out of there, he probably could have found a better way to pull it off. I don't think he's going to be able to hold himself hostage. And with Westbrook, I don't know what the hell anybody's supposed to do with that, because the only way you can trade him at that price is for another dude that makes $40 million a year. That's why the John Wall thing comes up and makes sense, because they can basically only be traded for each other.
Izzy makes an interesting point. Whether or not James Harden is down with the politics or not down with the politics, Fertitta is hemorrhaging money. Fertitta is one of the reasons that everyone's getting out of there. Fertitta is at the center of a China business problem. If James Harden decides to come out and publicly make messy this particular issue, Bomani, where he comes out and saying, I didn't like that they turned me into the face of that. I didn't like that they had me go out in front of the cameras and say, I like China, even though I was swimming out of my depth. If he goes and gets his hands on, I can make this publicly, Fertitta has a good bit to lose here as well while trying to make things uncomfortable.
He does, but I would also make the argument, no matter who you are, if you've been somewhere for 8 years, they can make you look bad too.
So, Dan, that was a riveting conversation, and our NBA expertise was amazing throughout it. But you called Charlotte the Bobcats a couple of times, and it throws away all credibility.
Listen to me. This is why it does it. They're still the San Diego Superchargers, and they're still the Oakland Raiders. It does not – come on. I'm not the only one making this mistake.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
So let's see here. Is this kicker
What a leg on that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised we don't see more chubby kickers in high school. They got the strongest legs.
Is he going to chase someone down?
I don't think he's going to chase them.
Okay, I've seen some videos here where people are doing reverse kicks and stuff, and not soccer necessarily, but things go wrong. So we've got two soccer players. One is kicking a ball. The other one is standing in front of the camera with a water bottle on his head. Let's see how this goes. Oh, he's just going to hit him in the head, right?
Highly Questionable is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question if getting tackled by the kicker is embarrassing?
They've given us zero information on what this is, except that it's high school football. And I'm assuming that this kicker is going to be large because everything we've done with high school football lately has been giant people. So let's see here. Is this kicker?
What a leg on that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised we don't see more chubby kickers in high school. They got the strongest legs.
Is he going to chase someone down?
I don't think he's going to chase him down. I think he's going to hit him up. There we go.
How did you not see him waiting there for you?
How does that blindside you? That kid, I mean.
How does blindside you? Like that. That's how he did it.
I feel he must have thought that he was going to run faster and be able to get away from him. I personally, I'd have slid right there like I was trying to win the World Series.
Yeah. Dan, you have to be upset at this trend of these giant high school football players. Like, you know, a couple years ago, it could have been your time.
Let me see that again here, because I don't understand how you don't see this coming. Bomani's got him sliding. I would have slid in a puddle of my own urine. That's 6'6", 340 pounds.
Wow. By the way, Dan, if you think that you were going to run back that video as a trick to get away from us looking at you run the 40-yard dash, you're out of your mind. Can we get that clip of Dan running the 40-yard dash on us?
Yes. Okay. That was with a heavy microphone in my pocket. That's why I'm holding up my shorts as I sprint.
Do you question if this was a good save?
All right, we will scour the earth for sports greatness, and we find some in youth hockey here. Let's see what we've got here from this goaltender. I've thought about this before. I've thought about putting a sumo wrestler in the net, if that would help you.
Good play.
I mean, it was a good save. Not a terribly good shot on goal.
Some people would say that's how Anthony Edwards played in college, actually.
How many times is that kid going to tell his parents he don't want to play hockey no more, right? I do not want to do this.
Son, but you had five saves.
Yeah, I feel like he puts on that whole get up with all the equipment. He'd be looking like Ralphie when they make him put on the rabbit suit in The Christmas Story. Like, does he look happy? No. Can he go take it off?
Do you question if this kid deserves credit for knocking the water bottle off his friend's head?
Okay, I've seen some videos here where people are doing reverse kicks and stuff, and not soccer necessarily, but things go wrong. So we've got two soccer players. One is kicking a ball. The other one is standing in front of the camera with a water bottle on his head. Let's see how this goes. Oh, he's just going to hit him in the head, right? Yes, that is
that definitely looks like Miami, by the way.
That was exactly what I was thinking. I was like, yeah, a weird story with that background. I know at the very least it's between one or two counties.
I don't care if you're playing around with friends. I don't care if you're in a professional match. On any sort of set piece, protect the jewels, even if your back is to the soccer ball. Protect
life
the jewels.
Advice.
You see it all the time.
Life advice. Protect.
Why are you
the
signing
jewels
up for this anyway? Like, no, why are you even volunteering for this? Like, there was nothing that you had to gain from being the prop in this. None whatsoever. And little buddy clearly did it to you on purpose, because there was no moment of, oh, damn, my bad, before he started laughing. He went straight into the laughs, because that's not really your friend. It's a tough lesson many of us have to learn in high school.
Highly Questionable is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Tonight on ESPN2 and ESPN News, Midweek Maction.
Oh, for the degenerates out there, you need your football fix. You need to gamble on football. Maction, people are scoring all over the place in that conference. Let's check out last week, though. Western Michigan is down against Toledo, and this is what happens. 4 points down. We've got an onside kick. Yeah, a lot of scoring in this conference all over the place. And then, of course, what happens after that? We're going to get a touchdown shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
Spike it.
Oh, no. the fake guy down there. Yeah.
There it is. Secret guy over there. That's your safety realizing it way too late in the proceedings. And there it is, a touchdown, a sneaky touchdown. Izzy, are you intrigued?
I mean, not really, but in this case, you have to just yell timeout, do something. That guy who noticed it right there, because even if you don't have any left, force the ref to blow the whistle or something. I don't think that was a planned fake spike. I think he was going to spike it, look to the left and said, hey, touchdown.
Yeah, the safety's got to take off his shoe and just throw it over there. They got to start throwing helmets over there. Bomani, are you intrigued?
I mean, once we got rid of all the gambling elements of the discussion, what the hell else is there to talk about with Toledo and Western Michigan? Like, I take a great deal of pride about my ability to pull things out of my keister for this particular segment. I was sitting there watching that whole thing go on, and I was just like,
what am I going to say?
I don't gamble.
We've left them speechless.
Yeah. You know how hard that is to do?
You know how hard it is to make Bomani Jones speechless. You did it, Mac. Congratulations.
Tonight at 11:35 p.m. Eastern, The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon.
All right, so listeners to the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz, Le Batard and Friends Network, you got to rate, subscribe, and review. Are really mad at Jimmy Fallon because they're saying he is stealing stuff from our show. The Looks Like game that we play, he does that, and now there's this. Planting little phrases in interviews by telling NFL players to just drop it in among the cliches. Look at this.
Dalvin, you were named NFC Offensive Player of the Week today. How do you feel about that?
Just going out there and just working hard, man. I run yards like switch hard, so that's what it is.
What makes that connection with you guys on that particular throw so difficult for anybody to defend?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a saying my mom used to say, it must be maple syrup because butter don't drizzle like that.
Well, you know, it's there's not a week that goes by where Coach Reed isn't going to get on you, man. That's his job, you know? Sometimes you just got to be like, take it easy, roller coaster tycoon. You know what I mean?
What your mom said is a quote that I am not familiar with. Can you elaborate a little more on that?
Syrup drizzles. You got to make that play. And a stick of butter, it's a block. You got to put it in the microwave to melt it. That just takes too long. You got to make that play right away, baby. And that's why, you know, that's why I'm like the maple syrup. That's why she used to always say that, because I'm quick with it. I just drizzle all over the place. No.
Yeah, Gronk not great with the improv situations. Bomani, are you intrigued?
So you're telling me now that they've stolen it, are they going to go all the way in stealing it and beat it into the ever-loving ground until it's pulverized into dust and then going to do it a little bit more?
That's how we do it, yeah. Izzy, are you intrigued?
I'm actually very intrigued by Rob Gronkowski. Can we show the first answer from him again? Look how nervous he was trying to remember the line. He looks like he's about to take his SAT and his life depended on it.
That is what it looks like to see Rob Gronkowski thinking, where you can see he is using the muscles that are not used to working, that they've atrophied. He doesn't have the energy drinks in the nightclubs anymore, so...
Suddenly, I want to see a video of Rob Gronkowski taking the SAT.
I'm on around the horn later if that matters.
Our work is done here. He just did the promotional item for where he'll be later. If you want to check out Bomani Jones, The Right Time with Bomani Jones. That was not a lot of enthusiasm from that endorsement from Izzy Gutierrez.
I'm saving up my energy, Dan. I'm saving up my energy.
There's nobody in popular culture who just happens to have an eye patch.
I had a sty one time and legit thought about wearing an eye patch out.
Eric wore an eye patch to work one day.
Work. I was talking out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do it. If I had an eye problem, I'd wear an eye patch out. Good enough Slick Rick. Good enough for me.
My, I think I've told you the story. It's probably what triggered an eye patch story on here is that the earliest photographs of me and my brother are him with waving a stick around that has a rock on a string on it. And then the next picture is of me with an eye patch.